Welcome back to Locked On Spurs, right here on the Locked On NBA Network. I'm your host, Jeff Garcia, Spurs beat writer for Kins 5 San Antonio. And hey, this episode of Locked On Spurs is brought to you by McDonald's, proudly serving communities since 1965. McDonald's has always been more than just a place to get tasty, affordable food. It's an unofficial community center. And a big thank you to our friends at McDonald's for always being there. I'm loving it. It is game day. Your Spurs will be facing the Sacramento Kings tonight. We're going to be looking at tonight's matchup. I have some keys to the game. What went wrong against that Thunder team? And hopefully they can fix it tonight so they can get a W instead of an L. And also we're going to be talking about Derek White. Now, I know in the previous episode we talked a little bit about him. We're going to get deeper dive into what ails him, what is going on, what could cure his recent shooting funk. To do that and more, I'm joined by the man that's moving up the chain over at San Antonio Sports Star. He is the host. Yes, I said host of San Antonio Sports Star's Halftime. You can listen to him Monday to Friday, noon to 2 p.m. He is Michael Jimenez, or should I say Mike ESPNSA on Twitter. Make sure to follow
I know, crazy. Yeah, rest in peace, 210 Fantasy God. Yeah, I had to get rid of that Twitter handle, but it was made official. I am the host of Halftime from 12 to 2. Monday through Friday on San Antonio Sports Star. We're actually going to be changing the name of the show. So breaking news, have nice. No idea what it's going to be called. I submitted my suggestion, but hasn't been approved yet.
What about the Mike Power Hour? Something like that.
I like that, but I think I'm going to have a co-host who might get a little offended.
Yeah. So does that mean you're done with Saturday? The Sunday Sports Grill, is that over?
It is. I hope that, that it lives on. You know, we have a new Rock the Mic champion. He'll be coming on who will win sometime this month. And we have our current Rock the Mic champion, Quinn Hudson, still around. So hopefully they can maybe work something out.
You know, of all the people, all the guys over there at SA Sports Star has joined, I think Quinn might be the last one to come on Locked On Spurs.
Oh, really?
I think he might. See, because technically the OG is Pledger. But if you want to take a deeper dive, Carl has been on Locked On Spurs before he joined San Antonio Sports Star. So technically, I guess him and Quinn and Carl are the last ones if you want to use the San Antonio Sports Star label. But I'm glad to see you guys are doing well. You're doing well. Michael there climbing up that ladder. And make sure to tune in to Halftime, everybody. Again, just go to Michael's Twitter page at MikeESPNSA and get all the information right there. Michael, these Spurs, they play tonight. They're back in action after a couple days off. That Thunder loss just really, really, how, Mike, I don't have explanation. This is just what this team is going to be, Michael. We'll talk about what happened in that previous game before we dive into Sacramento. My thought here, Michael, that this is the Spurs. They're going to be doing this until the end of the season.
Yeah, I mean, this is going to be what we're going to see time and time again. There was a lot of missed shots out there, and the Spurs had a hard time just guarding people down the stretch. It all started at the end of the second quarter. The Spurs were up by, 17 points or so?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And the Thunder got back-to-back-to-back threes to get it within 10 at halftime. And that cut the lead in half, and it gave momentum to the Thunder going into the break. And then when the third quarter started, it's almost like the Spurs didn't even come out of the locker room because, the Thunder went on a huge run, outscored the Spurs by 20 in the third quarter, and they never looked back. They didn't look back. I mean, the Spurs got close towards the end, but I never at any point thought the Spurs were going to win that game. It just wasn't their night.
So you were seeing that double digit lead as fool's gold, huh? You saw that comeback from OKC happening.
Yeah, the Spurs don't know how to hold on to a lead. This is not the first time this has happened. They have a hard time holding on to the lead. They almost play better when it's a really close back and forth game, but they get a little bit lazy when it comes to passing the ball around when they get a lead. It suddenly becomes ISO ball. It suddenly becomes DeJounte Murray trying to do it all. It's not good basketball then. But what's funny about it, though, is that they play great basketball to build the lead. But when it gets to maintain the lead, they change everything that they're doing. And I don't know if it's because of lineup changes that are going in, you know, players coming in and out, but they just can't hold that. And I don't expect a team to go up by 17 in the second quarter to win by 50 and maintain that level of success. I'm not expecting that. But what I am expecting is for them to not allow another team to go on a 37-point swing over the course of the next 18 minutes. That's unacceptable.
Yeah, it really was unacceptable. And afterwards, you know, the guys, you know, they were just like distraught. And you see Drew Eubanks just kind of slunk there in the seat. Just, you know, kind of what happened. Popovich called out the team. You know, we talked about this in the last episode of Locked Up Spurs. I want to get your thoughts on this. Is it time for Pop to go to the S card and that being soft? To just call out the team saying they're soft?
No, not really. The Spurs have a little bit of an excuse in here in the sense that Jakob Poeltl's not there. And he was playing so well the first couple of weeks of the season. You know, averaging 14 and 10, clogging up the paint, getting a lot of rebounds. They obviously miss him. And I never thought I'd say this because Jakob Poeltl to me is a little bit soft on the offensive side, but he can be a force defensively. So he plays a lot stronger on the defensive end of the court. The Spurs have an excuse with that because I don't think they have a backup there that is able to fill that. I didn't realize how important Jakob Poeltl was to this team. Drew Eubanks is not doing it right now. We were all hopeful for him to develop his game over the summer. It hasn't happened. Pop has yet to really turn to Jock to see if he can bring anything out there. So I know Thad Young's been playing some minutes at the at the 4/5, but the Spurs really do miss Jakob. And one of the telling things of the game is that, you know, DeJounte Murray is the leader of the team. And to see him vocally be upset on the court, kind of clapping his hands like you missed a defensive assignment. I think he snapped at Keldon one time for not closing out on a three. And the Spurs lost to a team who might actually be younger than our young Spurs team. They were playing rookies out there. They played Josh Giddey out there a lot of minutes. And it was just disheartening because it's kind of funny. We look at we call it the Spurs young core, the Spurs young core. Well, DeJounte has years on his under his belt. So does Derek White. Lonnie Walker, this isn't his first season. These are guys in their third, fourth, fifth, and sixth year.
Thad Young. Throw him in there too.
Yeah, McDermott.
McDermott.
You know, they are young in a sense, but they are not rookies. And they're playing teams like Sacramento tonight. They're playing Oklahoma City over the weekend, who might actually be rolling out there a younger squad, a younger starting lineup. So there's really no excuse when it comes to that. But the Spurs obviously missed the big guy down low.
Right.
And Jakob Poeltl, I mean, you know, he was averaging 14, 10, and 4. I mean, that the Spurs missed that. They need that.
They definitely do. Let's talk about tonight's game, Spurs Kings. The Spurs are riding a 3-game home losing streak. So hopefully the Spurs can snap that. But you look at the numbers, you look at the team, you look at Sacramento. Let's start with them. It starts and ends with Buddy Hield. I think I know they got De'Aaron Fox there. But Hield has been on a tear to start this season. I got a feeling that's going to continue tonight versus San Antonio, Michael.
No, I agree. You know, Buddy Hield, I remember following him out of Oklahoma. You know, he's a good player. I take a look at the Sacramento team and I think to myself, and I hate to say it this way, Spurs fans, but this is kind of where I hope the Spurs would be next year. You know, the Sacramento has gone from being a bottom dweller of the West to being respectable in the West. And it's beyond Buddy Hield, you know, De'Aaron Fox and, you know, Harrison Barnes. I mean, he's, you know, putting up 22 points a game. They have an interesting team and I like their team because they have some toughness out there. Rashawn Holmes is a very tough player. Davion Mitchell, the rookie from Baylor. I mean, very scrappy player, you know, backing up Tyrese Halliburton. They have a very kind of scrappy, tough team. You use the S word there, describing the Spurs as being potentially being soft. But when I'm looking at the Sacramento team, maybe you have a point, because I look at these players and these guys play with a chip on their shoulder.
Celebrate the freedom of choice with Built Bar. Did you know you can choose from many delicious flavors at Built Bar? Well, you can get coconut, raspberry, mint brownie, salted caramel, strawberry. The list goes on and on. There's definitely a flavor for each and every Built Bar fan. And hey, look, if you feel like you're going to miss out, they have the mix box. You'll get two of each of the 9 flavors. Not only are Built Bar flavors the best tasting, they're also healthy too. 17 to 18 grams of protein, calories ranging from 130 to 180, only 4 to 5 grams of sugar, and only 4 to 5 grams of net carbs. Amazing flavors, all tasty, all healthy. Order today. Get the grasshopper cookie or raspberry or whatever you like. Built Bar is the official protein bar of the U.S. track and field team. That is pretty cool. Go to Built.com right now and get yourself 15% off your order. That's Built.com, 15% off. Once again, at Built.com. If I'm looking at the game tonight, I first of all, I want to just see how the Spurs respond to the way they played against the Thunder. They should come out with fire. I'm hoping they will learn their lessons. Popovich said this was a big lesson for them to learn, but I was shocked. Well, maybe I shouldn't be shocked, Michael, because this is a very young team. But in the loss to the Thunder, Popovich also blamed the fact that the Spurs were full of themselves. You know, times are changing in San Antonio. I mean, this would have never happened with a Tim Duncan-led team or Manu and Tony. They would come out with a healthy respect for their opponent. Sounds to me that these young kids, if they get a lead, they start rejoicing too soon. And I hope they don't do that tonight versus Sacramento, because Sacramento can definitely hand them another L on the season. But I think it's going to come down to just defense. The Spurs are a better defending team than Sacramento. Right now, Sacramento is allowing 109 points per game. Spurs allow just a little less at 107. I need the Spurs defense to show up tonight, Michael.
Exactly, because that's where it all falls apart. You know, the one of the things about the Spurs is that a lot of their points come off of the defensive end, comes off deflections. So we see Devin Vassell and DeJounte Murray and Derek White and Keldon getting a lot of deflections. It leads to some transition ball the other way. So the defense creates the offense oftentimes. And what we saw with Oklahoma was that those deflections went away. Those, they weren't closing in on shooters anymore. They were not rebounding as well as they had earlier in the game. I mean, the Spurs were up big in the first quarter, still rocking and rolling in the second. And then just for some reason, the attitude changed. And the only one that I saw intensity coming out of was DeJounte.
I think that DeJounte... Well, first of all, no, I like the fact that he's getting on these guys. You mentioned with Keldon, you're seeing him being more vocal, really getting on this team. And let's face it, he has been. Would you put him and Pirtle as the two best Spurs this year? Maybe Murray ahead of Pirtle, and he's just consistent. He's really taken the next step in his development, and that being just playing with control, playing. It looks like to me, Michael, that the game has slowed down for him now. That it's slowed down for him. He gets it, and he's putting up some good numbers. So, obviously, I think he's going to have to be the key again tonight versus Sacramento. But,
you know,
go ahead.
One thing I like to add, DeJounte, there's a interesting stat that I read a couple of days ago, that DeJounte averaging 18, 8, 8, and 2. So, 18 points, 8 assists, 8 rebounds, 2 steals. That's only happened twice. If he finishes the season at that pace, it's only happened twice since 1973, and those players were Michael Jordan and Magic Johnson.
Wow. Some nice company there.
Ever since steals were considered a stat. So, wow. But that just shows how well he's playing, and he's doing it, obviously, on the defensive end. And I wonder how frustrated he's getting because, you know, I was very skeptical as to whether DeJounte had the ability to take a leap, and he proved me wrong, and he's proven a lot of people wrong. And I'll be the first to admit it. He is showing that the Spurs probably should never have entertained the idea of Ben Simmons, because now if you ask me who I'd rather have DeJounte. I never thought I'd say that. But I mean, he's doing so well out there, but to see him get vocally upset up there, you know, you could see him verbalizing, vocally yelling at his teammates, like, come on.
Yeah.
And that is, I don't know if that's the right thing to do, but that frustration's real.
It really is. And somebody has to do it. I mean, that's just the matter. That's just the point. I mean, this is a team that saw a bunch of veterans that usually did that, you know, your Patty, your Rudy Gays, et cetera, et cetera. Somebody had to do it. And he was really starting to do that before the Spurs decided to pull the plug and do this rebuild. So now it's his team. It's pretty much his team. You have guys like Lonnie Walker saying that they want him to take the last shot if the game's on the line. Popovich saying that he's noticed a spike in the leadership role, and the Spurs are definitely going to need that tonight versus a very dangerous Sacramento team. He is Michael Jimenez. Follow him on Twitter at MikeESPNSA. He's also the host of Halftime on San Antonio Sports Stars, Monday through Friday, noon to 2 p.m. Michael, I look at tonight's game, and if I'm the Spurs fan base, I'm looking at that third quarter. And this kind of relates back to what you said earlier about them not being able to maintain the lead. I believe the Spurs are winless if they go into the fourth and final frame without a lead. I'm sorry, so let me clarify that a bit. If the Spurs are not leading after the third this season, 100% of the time they're losing.
Wow.
What does that stat tell you?
Well, that stat either tells me that they're overmatched early on. Mm-hmm. I don't know if I would say overmatched, because there were some games earlier in the season where they were kind of in it down the stretch against the Milwaukee Bucks here at home. You know, they took a 1-point lead early part of the fourth quarter against the Dallas Mavericks here at home. Also on the road, they were doing okay. But I think I think what this tells me is that they don't know how to win together as a unit. Mm-hmm. And who's responsible for what? I mean, veteran leadership it's called veteran leadership for a reason, right? And for many years, we could have Patty Mills settle down the offense. We could have, you know, DeRozan, play a little bit of ISO ball, but be the one who wanted to take that shot and had success in doing so. There just aren't any defined roles when it comes to who was doing what in the fourth quarter. And it changes. And oftentimes when the Spurs are playing from behind, you know, they may exert too much energy. It's weird. I've seen a few games this year where the Spurs have looked outright tired at the end of the game. They look winded. DeJounte Murray in that overtime game, where he had nothing on his legs when he was trying to shoot a jumper. And I don't know if that's a conditioning thing, because these guys are young. You know, the guys on the other side of the court are playing just as many minutes. But they may be exerting a lot of energy throughout the game just to basically stay in it the first three quarters. But the fact that they're not able to come from behind in the fourth just shows that it's not really the best team right now. I mean, they have to improve.
Well, yeah, I mean, they constantly say that, at least through 10 games already post games when they get the L, you know, oh, we're still learning each other, you know, it's going to take time, we're going to get there, you know, the usually canned answers, everything. And by the way, quick clarification, is that actually 0-3? They're actually 0-4. They're 0-4 if they're trailing after the third quarter. So that stat tells me that this team, like, you're right, just doesn't simply know how to, you know, win in money time. If they're down, you know, they're down. Again, another reflection of a very young team still trying to figure out the defined roles. You know, what are we doing here? Is our identity going to be, you know, defense? Well, if it is, then get it done. Or is it going to be offense? Okay, well, people need to show up. Derek White, which we're about to talk about in a few minutes. Just so much that this young team is still learning to do. The good news is, though, Michael, the Spurs have won two in a row against the Kings. So, yay. There's that. Something tells me that might end later on tonight. But look, it just feels like a broken record, Michael. I just want them to be competitive. I don't want to see what we saw versus Indiana. Definitely don't want to see these blown leads that the Spurs have been showing that they cannot maintain. You know, if this is a season of rebuild, then little baby steps. And I get it. They're not going to be perfect for 82 games, or at least competitive for 82 games. That's just every team is going to go through that. But for a team and players that are looking to make their way in the NBA, you know, become a bigger part of this organization, just so show some competitive fire, Michael. It's that time of year again, and all eyes are turning to football as teams are back in the gridiron to start the football season. As always, BetOnline, your number one spot for all the pro and college football action this season. Get all the updated odds, props, and contests, including online's biggest $500,000 NFL mega contest and the world's largest $200,000 NFL survivor contest open now at BetOnline. Head to the website, betonline.ag, or use your mobile device to sign up today and get yourself a 100% welcome bonus. BetOnline is the fastest and easiest way to bet on all your favorite sports, from football, basketball, boxing, right down to your favorite Vegas casino games. Don't wait and take advantage of all the great offers available for the 2021 season. BetOnline, your online sportsbook experts. Use promo code LOCKEDON.
You know, I am very conflicted when it comes to watching Spurs games.
Interesting.
Because in the heat of the moment, watching the game, I want to see them win, right? I'll go to the games, and I'll want to see them win. I'll cheer for them from the stands. And then if they lose a close one, I look at the standings, and I think to myself, thank God they lost. We need those lottery picks.
Yes, we do.
Yeah. And right now, as it stands, the Spurs are right around the fifth worst team in the NBA right now. To get a top five pick would be amazing. I know there's a lottery process. The Spurs could move up and go down. But I'm taking a look at the standings of, like, who are the best teams in the NBA. And every single one of them had a lottery pick in there. You know, Golden State had Steph. You know, had Clay. You know, Philadelphia with trust the process with Embiid. And I know Simmons hasn't played this year, but, you know, he was obviously a top pick as well. But you need to have a stud player in there, and we're not going to get it from the free agency pool, so we have to get it from the draft. And so it's kind of weird watching these games going, yeah, I want them to get better, but do you know what I don't want? I don't want them to have the 11th pick like they did last year.
Oh,
I want them to have somewhere between 3 and 7. But the teams below the Spurs, I mean, the Spurs have been beating up on Orlando this year, but I don't think the Spurs are going to somehow fall below a New Orleans, a Houston, or a Detroit because those three teams are racing for the bottom. I mean, they're not going to get more than 15 wins this year.
Dare I say they're playing the smart, trying to get in that lottery? I mean, they at least know what's in front of them. Their teams are not title bound, so might as well just go for it and rebuild fast.
No one tanks like a Houston Rockets team. They turned on a dime.
Jesus, did they? Yeah. I mean, they might as well just change their name to the Houston Tanks. I mean, that's what it should have been last season. Some quick other notes before we transition to our talk about Derek White. The Sacramento Kings come in losing two in a row, and those two losses came on the road. So hopefully that'll continue for them to benefit San Antonio. And also, over the last three games, the Kings, and I think this is a big key tonight as well, they've had a higher three-point percentage than their opponent. That three-point shot, Michael, it's better for San Antonio, but it's still not where it should be. I've seen games where they're putting up like 22, 25. I'm like, no, that thing needs to be up near 30. But the Spurs also, on that end of the statistical spectrum, they've had a string of games where they're attempting less than their opponent. They had a string of games, consecutive games, going into tonight's game versus Sacramento, where they have fewer makes than their opponent. The three-point shot, it's better, Michael, but it's still not where it needs to be for this silver and black team.
And they are shooting the ball from three and are confident from three when they're winning. Right. And you would think that when they start falling behind that they would throw up more three-pointers in order to try to keep pace or catch up. They just don't do it. Yeah. It's a remarkable difference in their shooting percentage when you see them. That Oklahoma City game, I mean, that's the last game that we saw there. I mean, Lonnie Walker was shooting back-to-back threes, and you saw a better percentage out there the first 18 minutes of the game, and then thereafter, they just refused to shoot it. And it's very concerning there, because oftentimes when you're shooting a three-pointer, you have to shoot it with confidence. And when you don't have confidence in your shot, you try to drive it in. You try to do things that might improve your might improve your field goal percentage by driving in, but even that wasn't working. But there's a confidence area issue there when it comes from the 3-point side.
He is Michael Jimenez. Follow him on Twitter at MikeESPNSA. He is a host of Halftime on San Antonio Sports Star. You talk about confidence. You know, somebody's confidence who's just shaken to the core right now, he's in a funk, and that is Derek White. Let's dive into what's going on with him. The numbers show it. It got to the point, Michael, where at least since I've been covering the Spurs, I've never seen Popovich directly call out a guy. I mean, he wasn't calling out Derek White like in a mean way. He was just more like, yeah, I know. Like, I mean, Popovich said post game versus the Thunder, it's obvious that there's something wrong with him. And he said there's a bigger issues with him. Michael, does Derek White have just simply the yips, or this is who Derek White is?
No, I'm gonna say C, none of the above. I don't think he has a place on this team.
Wow. Hot take.
And the reason for that is DeJounte Murray's leap comes at an expense of somebody else, and that expense is Derek White. They don't play well together. That's been documented. That's been said for a long, long time. But you watch the game, and Derek White looks like he doesn't have a role out there. I want him to have a role in this team. I think he'd be great with the second unit. And I've been the conductor of that train from the get-go. Put Derek White on the bench. Have him run the second unit. When DeJounte is off the court, I want Derek White on the court. Very similar to when Brooklyn had that Kyrie Harden thing where they weren't on the court at the same time very often. That's what I want to see. I want to see Derek White and DeJounte Murray, one or the other, on the court at all times. But hopefully not together, because they don't play well together.
Yeah.
And Derek is having a hard time finding, like, what is he doing? He's not handling the ball up the court. Okay. So because he's not doing that, he's trying to find a role in there. And DeJounte is doing a really good job of running the offense. So he's getting lost out there, and I think that there's no rhythm, because there's nothing there for Derek White to find a rhythm, to find his shot, to learn his spots. I just think that he is basically he doesn't have a role on the floor when DeJounte has the ball in his hands. He just doesn't. And I've been saying this for a week that I think that. Everyone says, well, does this mean that Lonnie Walker should be the starter? No, it means Devin Vassell should be the starter. If the Spurs were trying to win, they would play their best players. And the second best player on the Spurs team right now is Devin Vassell.
Well, you said if they want to win, they should play their best players. Maybe they're low-key.
Tank.
Yeah. Well,
subtle tank.
It's a subtle tank, yeah. Well, to say that Derek White is in a bad shooting slump, that would just be an understatement. He went 0 for 10 versus the Thunder recently, including 0 for 4 from the three-point line in about 27 minutes. And many people look at that game like, oh, he's in a funk. No, it started way before that. He went 4 for 14 against the Magic on the road on November 5th, 4 and 10 versus the Pacers at Indiana to start this month. He had one good game. The last good shooting game from him was 6 for 10 versus the Mavs on November 3rd. But I recently did an article about what Lonnie Walker had to say. You can see that at kins5.com/Spurs right now. And I dive deeper to the numbers, the shooting funk that he's in. So I go to my trusty Cleaning the Glass website. Although he's still a major impact, Michael, defensively, he ranks in the 93rd percentile among NBA guards and blocks, but he's shooting a career low 38% from the field through 10 games. Career worst shooting from the three-point line at 32%. Gets worse. He's barely in the seventh percentile. That's near the bottom of the NBA in shooting just from the mid-range. Mid-range only, Michael, according to Cleaning the Glass, 16% shooting right now. And he's 26 in the percentile in effective field goal shooting percentage at 46%. Again, near the bottom. It seems to me, that this starting role may not be working for him. And you're right, maybe switching him to the bench could fix it. I mean, what have they got to lose, Michael? What have they got to lose? I don't think they got nothing to lose. They're not going to be having a championship parade this year. That's not going to happen, or a deep push in the postseason, or even making the postseason. Why not, Pop? Give it a week of games. See if that fixes him. We just got to see. You know, Walker said that he hopes that that White just has amnesia, and that's the best way to do it. You know, just forget about it and move on. Then he wants Derek White, if he's gone 0-10, take 10 more shots. But
wow,
something's got to give. Either a change in role, or as we said, maybe he just simply has the yips and he needs to snap out of it. But if seeing where Derek White is right now through 10 games, and you're advocating, you know, maybe push him to the bench, would you be okay keeping him on the bench for the rest of the season if it doesn't work out? Or perhaps maybe dangling him in trade talks come trade deadline, because I don't think this Spurs team is done trying to tinker with this roster.
No, I agree with you on that. No, yeah. I mean, I think he's a bench player on this team because of DeJounte Murray. Mm-hmm. Maybe Derek White would have a better shooting percentage with another team, but he's not going anywhere anytime soon. I doubt the Spurs will trade him because I don't think he has much trade value. Spurs fans tend to overvalue their own players, but I don't think that this is just the yips, because there's a trend line here. When the Spurs put him in the starting lineup 4 seasons ago, 2018-2019, he was shooting at 48% for the year. Mm-hmm. And then it dropped to 45.8, and then it dropped to 41.1, and now it's at 38%. Mm-hmm. The three-point shooting has also gone down every year the last 3 years. Wow. So this is a trend that we're seeing here. And so, as I said earlier, DeJounte Murray taking a leap is going to come at the expense of someone else, and that's Derek White. And I don't think that, you know, I'm a big believer in, if the Spurs are trying to win, you play the best players that have the highest ceilings. And what we're seeing right now is that Devin Vassell has taken the leap as well. And he's playing out of his mind. He's doing so well. And he's just as good defensively as Derek White. You know, he can guard multiple positions. And so if the Spurs are trying to win, they would do that. I'm not trying to be overly pessimistic about things, because I'm taking a look at the Spurs roster and I'm thinking to myself, okay, what are the building blocks of this team? The building blocks of this team are going to be Murray, Vassell, Primo, Poeltl, Keldon, those five for sure. Everything else is kind of up in the air. But when it comes to Derek White, it was beyond the three-point shooting. He was missing everything.
Layups, so
someone asked me, was he just missing a lot of threes? No, he was missing runners. He was missing layups off the glass. He was missing putbacks. He was missing open mid-range jumpers. Everything was off. I mean, it looked like he was at the carnival shooting at those those deformed rims, you know, that's very difficult. That's what the rim looked like for him. And it's very difficult, because at least he brings something to the floor defensively, because without that, there would be no reason to play him.
Yeah, well, you saw that, I guess, at the Thunder. I mean, he was still bringing it defensively, but it was just where they needed him on offense, he lacked.
Exactly. And I mean, I have no doubt that he has the potential to turn around, but I'm just looking at those trend lines thinking to myself, you know what, maybe he can turn it around, but I wouldn't discount the fact that this might just be a decline in the career already. And, but that doesn't mean that he can't be a significant part of this team and still play 18 to 24 minutes. I would prefer him, if the Spurs are actually trying to win, to be, you know, the seventh guy on the team, as opposed to being one of the starters.
You know, perhaps he wouldn't get this type of hot seat treatment, Michael, if he didn't get paid. Spurs paid him quite a bit of money, Michael. A lot of money.
Yeah, and that's why he's not going to go anywhere.
Yeah.
I mean, why would somebody trade for him?
Yeah, I mean well, he has a bloated contract, and he's not at least backing it up with the numbers, at least through 10 games. And that's the good thing, Michael. If you want to put a silver lining on this, the season just began. So there's plenty of time for him to work out of this funk he's in. But you mentioned the trend lines. The trend lines are not promising, Jimenez.
Not at all. And that contract, that bloated contract you talked about, took effect about 3 weeks ago. So it's not one of those things where you know, he's in the middle of a contract. No, he is signed to 24-25. You know, and that contract is going to go from 15 to 16 to 17-6 to 18-8 in his final season. Spurs aren't going to be able to unload that contract, so they better get the most out of him. But you know, but the thing is that he earned so little early on, so it kind of averages out. But the fact of the matter is that, you know, DeJounte is basically casting a dark shadow over what he's over Derek White, because he's taken over a lot of Derek's roles. And like I said, I've gone to a game at the AT&T Center where I'm looking at Derek White, and I'm thinking to myself, he's the only one there who doesn't seem to be moving with a purpose, you know, finding a spot or whatnot. He looks like he's like his head's on a swivel, like where do I go from here?
Yeah.
You know, and it's not that he's not a professional player or he's not a talented player. I just think that his role is not defined yet. And because of that, he's having a hard time adjusting to the leap that DeJounte Murray has taken.
This might put a smile on your face, Michael. So I go to Tankathon. Right now, the Spurs are projected to land in the number 3 spot. And Tankathon has them projecting to draft Chet Holmgren out of Gonzaga. That put a smile on your face, Michael, if that pans out?
You know, the Spurs are going to go on a, you know, 6-game winning streak in April. That's going to be meaningless.
And ruin this.
Yeah, and then we're going to be picking 10 again, or 10 or 11. Yeah, like I said, it's very conflicting. I'm watching these games, cheering for them. They get so close sometimes, but then I'm like, thank God they lost.
Well, if you want to talk about trends with Derek White, well, there's trends with the Spurs franchise, and that is usually they did get to the promised land by the draft, whether it's trading up for Kawhi or drafting number 1. Robinson and Duncan, and of course, you know, Manu and Tony. So there is proof in the pudding that the only way this franchise got to glory was via the draft. It needs to happen again, Michael. It has to happen that way again.
Most definitely. I mean, I know a lot of Spurs fans were upset with how things turned out ultimately with LaMarcus Aldridge, but he was the biggest free agent San Antonio has ever gotten and probably ever will get.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, it has to build through the draft, because if you take a look at the rafters on the AT&T Center, you know, you see names up there like David Robinson, drafted in the lottery, Sean Elliott, drafted in the lottery, Tim Duncan, drafted in the lottery.
Yep.
You know, we won because of those lottery picks. And I know that we have you know, Tony being the last pick in the first round and Manu being one of the last in the second round. Those are outliers, man. You can't build a franchise on that. You know, you can't build a franchise on hoping that a player like Jokic falls to the second round like he did.
I know.
You know, those are very, very rare. But most of the best players in the NBA kind of come from that top 10, top 12 pick. It's called a lottery for a reason.
Exactly.
You know, because, you know, you're hoping to hit the jackpot. And
I'm hoping that happens again. It has to happen. That's the only way this is going to work. So, yes, Spurs fans, I get it. Seeing this team get losses is something you young whippersnappers of this generation of Spurs fan base are not used to. Michael and I have been through this road before with this team pre-Robinson or when Robinson started. So it's your time to enjoy, but this is what a rebuild looks like. You're going to have to rebuild via the draft. You're going to have to rebuild by drafting very smart and developing these young players. And I think also, I don't want to open a can of worms with you, Michael, because we're running out of time, but Spurs really got to consider bringing Primo back sooner than later. I get it. It's okay. Keep him there for a month or a month and a half in the Austin, but you're going to have to really bring him if you want to get his NBA development going, Michael.
It's so disappointing watching all these other teams play their rookies and seeing Primo playing the Rio Grande Valley Vipers. You know, he's out in Edinburgh. You know, I would say that he's probably the fourth or fifth best Spur, and he's out in Edinburgh playing for the Austin Spurs last week. I made the joke on halftime, and I kind of firmly believe this. You know, the Spurs got a G League team. Back then, it was called the D League. I believe it was in 2007 is when the Spurs got a D League team. And prior to that, the D League existed, but there was not like one assigned to you, like a farm team, like the Austin Spurs is to the San Antonio Spurs. I made the joke that if the Austin Spurs existed in the early 2000s,
I know where you're going with this.
This Pop would have sent Manu and Tony to Austin.
Oh, for
and we
sure.
never would have gotten the 03, 05, or 07 title. The Spurs
Good
way
Lord.
Is nonsense. The Spurs yeah. way worked for 20 years because of number 21. You can afford to have the Spurs way when Tim Duncan is out there, one of the five best players of all time in the NBA. I'm sorry, but I cannot wait for Pop to leave. I cannot
wait. On that note, Michael, I didn't mean to cut you off there. I know you got a lot of hot takes, but we're running out of time here on Locked On Spurs. We're done talking. We've got to hear from you. What do you think about tonight's Spurs-Kings matchup? And also, Derek White, do you agree that it's just a simple case of the yips? Or it's something deeper, as Michael is pointing out. The trends is showing that it's not looking good for White right now. And what about Mike's latest hot take? You know, Pop needs to go. He can't wait till Pop goes. And Derek White's career has plateaued already. We got to hear from you. You can find him on Twitter at MikeESPN right now. He is the host of Halftime on ESPN, San Antonio Sports Star, that is, Monday through Friday, noon to 2 p.m., 1250 a.m., 94.5 FM. Listen to him right now. Michael, before we got like a few seconds left, what's the latest movie you saw?
Oh, wow. The latest movie I've seen. Dude, I haven't seen a lot of movies, but I saw Midnight Mass on Netflix.
Oh.
And that's kind of like a movie. It's like a 7-hour long movie.
Yeah, phenomenal.
Amazing.
Amazing.
I was so impressed by that whole thing. Yeah. And I'm not a big horror fan. And I don't know if I would consider it to be horror. It was more of a creepy thriller. But Midnight Mass on Netflix was fantastic.
I thought you were going to tell me you just saw E.T. for the first time. That's what I thought.
Oh, no. Oh, if you want to have an old school movie, I'm actually looking forward to E.T. We had some trick-or-treaters come by my house dressed as, I guess, I don't
E.T.
know. E.T., Elliot, or whoever, whatever Elliot, the names were. I'm looking forward to watching the movie. I'm going to give it a try.
All right. So for Michael Jimenez, I am Jeff Garcia. We're putting a lock on this episode of Locked On Spurs.